Gabriel here. It is Friday, November 28th, 2025, and things are going very well. I am walking to work wearing last year's brand new winter coat that is very, very roomy. If I really wanted to quantify how much I have changed in the last year, this is one of the better ways I can do it. For context, this jacket was just big enough for me to fit into last winter and the winter before, I believe, too. I don't think it's that new. And now it's super roomy. I have room to move around in my midsection. My arms feel absolutely puny inside this thing. And it's wild to me to think it wasn't that long ago I was worried about being able to zip it up. Just a testament for how much things can change. I weighed in this morning with a new low of 317.8. That's right, I have conquered the 320s, which were another challenging range, if for no other reason for lifestyle things going on. But all that to say, I am very happy to be here, being possibly below 300 by the end of the year. Feels possible, feels within reach. All that to say, I'm really, really looking forward to continuing to push on and make the best of this month, but also 2026 as a whole. I'm feeling pretty good, honestly, on the rebound of what has been a particularly challenging week emotionally. I've done many attempts at recording one of these updates, and I really just couldn't push any of them out. I've saved them because I don't really let things go to waste. I let my journal pile up as I try to figure out maybe a way I can incorporate those difficult moments in the future. But I feel the need to articulate, I guess, what I've been going through over the last few weeks as things have gotten particularly challenging. I get a lot of kindness from people telling me that, you know, they're really proud of how far I've gotten. And these are like complete strangers who've seen me a couple of times and they're like, wow, you've really changed. And I even have close friends who I don't see all the time tell me like they can really see it. And to be honest, I still feel like me. I still feel in many ways how I did at the top as far as self-perception goes, but even other things. But I'm definitely a version of me that is kinder to myself, and I certainly see that paying off in a couple of ways. But unfortunately, when I reflect on what being kinder to myself is, I am reminded with the ways that I have really hurt myself. You know, it's all well and good to forgive oneself for getting so big, but in beginning to try to reach out and beginning to try to live my life again, many regrets that I didn't really know I had buried and numbed myself from are absolutely coming to the forefront. And the most blatant and straightforward example of this is that as I make new friends, as I get to know more people, I am being reminded of just how much I miss some of my old friends. I am reminded of the aching pain for some of the people that I disconnected from as I began to self-isolate. And this was articulated so clearly when I got in touch with an old friend of mine that I am very happy to be talking to again. And they basically asked, like, hey, what happened? You dropped off the face of the earth. And the fact of the matter is, this is regularly how I am described by people I stumble back into touch with. And it just kind of hit me that I guess my self-isolation was way more extreme and honestly started way earlier than even I remember. Because when I think about the timeline of these kind of things, I was mostly tracing back certain moments of my life, but I think I underestimated how quickly it started and how quickly it got rolling. And so one of the things that's been particularly difficult is I was reflecting on, well, why did I self-isolate? Why did I disconnect from this large group of friends I had really put together to comfort me in what were already very difficult and tumultuous times? But I realized that what happened was that one of many authority figures in my life, I realized that what ultimately did this is that I had a particularly difficult conflict with my father. Despite being, I guess, described as the favorite by my brothers for most of my childhood, basically after a certain point, after some, like, I would say ordinary family chaos, he effectively did a 180 on me. And I think this entire time, from 14 years old to now, here I am almost 32, I did not comprehend just how much that 180 in treatment actually affected me. I remember telling people around me, oh, I hate him. Oh, he's the worst person ever. And truthfully, I still believe those things. In fact, I have only more reasons to believe this as time has gone on. When I really think about who teenage Gabriel was, I think he was right about far more things than he even comprehended. But the downside was he didn't understand the background and the secrets that were causing the dysfunction. And so he was trying to navigate a circumstance that fundamentally the answers were kept from him. And it's really fascinating to then now, after all this hindsight, to pour through my life of why am I addicted to seeking information? Why am I such an extrovert, but I've been so cut off from everybody? Well, why did these things happen? Why did all that culminate in my health issues being as extreme as they were? And I can tell you that these days, it all makes sense. With the information I have now, with things that have been contextualized, and some of the missing information I didn't have being explained, I see it now. I see it as clear as day. And it is so surreal to describe how it feels, where much of the life as I was living felt like a chaotic haze. And yeah, I'm not surprised it made particularly difficult and suboptimal health and personal life choices during that time, especially now that I have begun to grapple with the roots of those things. What makes it difficult at this vantage point is now that I am coming out of my shell, now that I am fully embracing my life despite many of these dark, difficult things, I am now being greeted with regrets that I didn't consciously realize I was carrying. And it's really difficult, I'm going to tell you. It is absolutely soul-crushing to realize that, you know, you did the thing. You put together a large friend group of interesting people that you had met throughout a couple of years and, you know, a particular time of your life, and then you just gave it all up. And why? And so that's why I gave the background, because I now understand that when my own father did a 180 on me for reasons that I didn't even understand, and in hindsight is perfectly clear, it's because I was not actually aware of what he was doing to chaotically destabilize the family and what he had done. No, I was suspected for knowing the truth. And then suddenly, I went from somebody who was a non-threat to a problem that needed to be managed. And this perfectly can explain the chaos of my difficult years. The hardest parts of my life were because he waged a basically unceasing harassment campaign against me and even people I knew at the time, as a child, mind you. And it never made sense. I could never explain it to anybody. People were like, oh, you just don't like your dad because, you know, you're a little brat or whatever. But in fact, he would do absolutely deranged things. He would you know, message my friends on Facebook and send them, honestly, especially in hindsight, very creepy and deranged messages. And it was like, what was going on? And my entire life was so difficult at these times because I was confused. I was like, something's obviously wrong here, but I can't explain it to anybody because it's all this like weird small stuff that's hard to really quantify. And so anyways, I understood that. I understood that it was wrong. And so this ignited a campaign in me where I was fueled by the rage. I was fueled by the injustice of what to me was demonstrably wrong, but honestly, it felt like the entire world couldn't make sense of, no matter how hard I would try to explain it. And I couldn't explain it because I didn't know why it was happening. But this is collateral damage because for me, I had built a wide group of people who I am honestly going to tell you, I loved dearly. My best friends at the time were some of the most wonderful and amazing people I think I have gotten to know as deeply as that. And they're irreplaceable. Like, I'm going to straight up say that. And the thing is that, like, I love meeting new people. I love getting to know them. But it really shows me that when I get to know someone and I see what I like about them, I'm seeing all the things that I was, like, looking for, I guess, when I was building this village of comfort around me in my teen years. And so what ended up happening was, as I felt the betrayal of what my father was doing to me by doing a 180 and then basically making my life miserable to keep his secret under wraps that I didn't even know until a decade after the fact, I was confused. I was like, what is going on here? And so, ironically, I have to give teenage Gabriel some credit because damn, I was good at boundaries. I was good at boundaries at the time in a way that, like, I'm not now. Oh my goodness. I am a doormat compared to Gabriel growing up. And so I was absolutely clear. I'm like, I want nothing to do with this person who suddenly turned on me and is causing so many problems. And the thing is that the tragic part of this is that throughout all that, I thought that was a victory. I thought that finally purging someone so, especially in hindsight with everything I know now, somebody so monstrous, somebody so tyrannical, so evil, that I had thought coming out unscathed or seemingly unscathed was the ultimate victory. It was a long-run campaign. I remember eagerly waiting to be 18 years old so that I could like tell institutions not to give them information. And that never worked. And so it was only once I had escaped various, you know, lifestyle things that I began to live on my own. And if you read my post about how I got so big, this is what I talked about when I had my own place with my twin brother. I got to live on my own and I got to finally start to live my own life. And I was still, you know, holding on. But what I think throughout those years, I misunderstood is I didn't realize the lasting damage that had been done to me by that betrayal. I didn't realize that that sudden and extreme betrayal at such a fundamental level was tainting how I could trust other people. Because the way it felt at the time is that I felt like everybody just secretly hated me, which was pretty rational, honestly, in hindsight. But now I'm realizing how rational it was. Because if somebody so, you know, important in your life can do a 180 and cause so many problems, can you really trust anyone? Can you really, you know, continue to reach out and be, you know, present in the world and society? Especially when you've seen the society do all, you know, let it all happen, basically. You don't just feel betrayed by the person doing it. You feel betrayed by the people who you can't even explain it to. And that was profoundly difficult. And so anyways, what I'm really trying to say here is that to me, this weight loss journey has not just about, you know, looking good again. It's not just about even being able to move, as great and wonderful as that is. For me, what this is finally undoing the cumulative damage of things that I have had to endure and fight, and I'm going to be honest, actually come up more victorious. I now know the truth of what has happened. It now helps me understand my own life and my own decisions in a way that I never thought I would. And it allows me to contextualize my life in a way that I am now very grateful to be here where I am now. I mean, there are things I would certainly like to say in particular ways, but I am trying to be careful because I should only really talk about what I know about. But anyways, the thing is that it is so nice to feel like me again. And I can tell you how hard it is that this transformation, this visual transformation, is really just a side effect of this broader campaign I've embarked on of actually trying to embrace the life I've been avoiding. And this is where, to me, I find many discussions about health very jarring, honestly, because I see how much dysfunctional family dynamics have created the seeds of my destruction. Now, don't get me wrong, nobody was forcing anything on me, you know, got to take responsibility for that. But when I think about why did I have these coping mechanisms? How were I taught these coping mechanisms? Why didn't I have the skills that now I have? You know, when I answer these questions, a lot of things become a lot more clear. And so where I'm at now is I can't believe how good I feel, even though I'm not done this journey. And there's a bit of like guilt associated with that, because when people like congratulate me, I'm like, oh, Gabriel, you've done so well, you know, whatever. Ironically, I'm like, this means nothing. Ironically enough, this is a shocking thing to say out loud, but when people are congratulating me on my weight loss, I'm like, this is such a small, meaningless thing compared to this bigger story that's in behind all of it that I think, unfortunately, you know, I've mentioned before, I really wish I had spent more time journaling at the start of this. I really wish I had spent more time really assessing this stuff as I was beginning. But this is my best attempt at trying to tell this story, because I don't think my weight loss story makes sense outside of it. You know, one of the reasons I'm deciding to share all this now is that I was told the story by somebody, and believe me, I know they mean well. I'm not attacking this person. But they were telling me that they were showing a video of my transformation to somebody else and saying, see, you can do it too. And like, in an encouraging way, I understand the sentiment behind it. I'm not trying to attack that well-meaning sentiment, but knowing what I know, knowing where I come from, knowing how this all fits together, it's not the body changes that are important. They are important, but they're not the thing that is driving the process, if that makes sense. It's not like I read a book on dieting and that fixed everything. In fact, it's not even like I read a book on mental health. You know, I love Peter Brigham's book, Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety, and that definitely helped me. But that was after I had already gone down this road, realizing what my problem was. And that required me being told the secret that I was presumed to have known, and understanding why that secret was the thing that created all these cycles that put me on this path to self-destruction. And this is why my perspective on many things, I would say, is very out of step with how most people understand relatively basic things. And I've learned a lot by talking to a lot of people. I have learned many things throughout this road. And I realize that the real roots of people's poor mental, physical, spiritual health these days has nothing to do with the stuff you'll see discussed on that topic. You'll see people blame smartphones. You'll see people blame politics. You'll see people blame, you know, Russian bots or whatever. And my perspective on this is that there is a kind of predation that is insidious and malevolent. And these dynamics around it create scenarios where the bystanders unknowingly participate And these dysfunctional dynamics, I now understand. And this is part of the reason why Bregan's book on guilt, shame, and anxiety is actually very helpful. If you're like keyed into some of these ideas, is the fact that there is stuff wrong with how humans operate. And that embeds these dynamics that are fundamentally unhelpful. Think of all the times, you know, some people are having an argument, and instead of saying what they're really upset about, they are actually just, you know, having a surface level argument about things that don't matter. And then they're confused about, why are we fighting? You know, it's like, this thing doesn't matter. And it's because there is a real root of hurt there that for whatever reason, either can't be expressed, can't be understood, whatever the dynamic is. And so it's a problem, because what I realize is that my weight loss, health, and fitness journey is a great thing. I love it. It's like, this has been quite an amazing adventure. I am in no way knocking it, and I am no way knocking the achievements of anyone who has done a similar journey. But I'm trying, I guess, to say that this is not just about dieting. This is not just about lifting. This is not just about the surface level. Oh, I want to be better, so I just gotta get the discipline and grit to be better. No, it's, to me, this is about fundamentally finding the compassion that many people have robbed from them by various things. I probably won't try to articulate them for the moment, but the thing is that I do think these deep rooted betrayals have a way of afflicting people's psyche. And I now understand that many people are quick to blame the people spiraling in self-destruction of, oh, well, they just can't choose better. And I wonder what pieces of information about their own lives many of these people are missing. I wonder what secrets are being actively kept that are helping many people stay in bondage of self-destruction and tyranny. And this is where, to me, I can definitely say I have a very personal and intimate understanding of the phrase, the truth will set you free, because it's not that the particular tragic and horrific secret I'm aware of is the thing that motivates me to change my life. It's none of that at all. It's the recognition that I wasn't the problem. And yes, I mean, I had negative coping strategies that put me on a particular path that was only going to get worse and worse until I hit rock bottom, yada, yada, yada. I'm not talking about I was not the instrument of my own self-destruction. No, that's how self-destruction works. However, in understanding the broader context of my life and understanding what had happened, I realized that me being hard on myself was working for the evil, malevolent person who had done those things. I began to realize how much my own self-destruction was instrumental to protecting that person who is capable of so much evil and tyranny and wickedness. And I tell you, I take this deadly seriously, not just because I have lived it, but because I recognize this pattern. It is incredibly difficult to unsee in other dynamics. It is incredibly difficult to watch politics nowadays, where I see people having these different fights about various things, and they're not even approaching, you know, tackling the root of the evil and malevolence that is deeply embedded in these systems. And I mean, the exemplary fact of this is, like, it's funny how a lot of people are cool with the Epstein stuff as long as they think their team is winning. And, you know, it's easy to, you know, judge these people too harshly, but I wonder how many people are making fun of those people while they are, you know, covering up their own family messes and tragedy to go along and get along. And it's genuinely fascinating to me at how these patterns are a fractal throughout society, and how, you know, what we see on the small scale also exists on the big scale. And this is where I have to give this lady a pretty significant amount of credit. And it's a particularly dark and tragic story, though I guess the subject matter of this recording hasn't exactly been great either. But anyways, there was this lady, I believe she was in France, which is an authoritarian hellhole anyways, but that's beside the point. This lady in France was being secretly drugged by her husband and basically sold to strangers. And the thing is that this is something she only uncovered after a long period of it happening. This wasn't like week one, you know, she found out and like addressed it. No, this was a long campaign for a long period of time. A lot had to happen for this to come to light. And, you know, she was going to this court case. She said something in an interview that has stuck with me on a deep level. They were asking her, did she feel any like shame for, you know, what was done to her? And she's like, well, no, it's not my shame. It's their shame. You know, it's like, she didn't do anything wrong. She wasn't, you know, participating, you know, the whole other discussion there, but like quite literally in the most literal way possible, she was not in control of this situation. And that was something that honestly really spoke to me in the realizing that by being so self-critical, by keeping myself down, I was only doing the people doing the bad things a service. I was basically doing the work of the enemy, despite patting myself on the back for, you know, overcoming so much and being so heroic, without realizing that the compromises I had made with self-destruction were terminal. I mean, let's be honest. The fact that I am alive today is actually quite surprising when you consider what I've gone through. You know, in 2016, I had a stroke, and that was after trying to lose a lot of weight for the first time. And then I only got bigger and bigger. You know, if we really think about how did I get to this point, I really would honestly tell you it's probably quite unlikely. When I think about the fact that, yeah, being 500 pounds isn't great for you. You know, it's the kind of thing that getting as big as I did was certainly a gamble on many fronts. And so this is where I think that when I see people, you know, trying to be encouraging, and again, I know this is meant in the best of intentions. I think a lot of people don't see this dynamic. They don't see that a person's health problems may be downstream of more difficult sacrifices that we may not necessarily have an easy answer to. In fact, there was only one person who knew what I needed to know to actually recontextualize everything that was going on in my life. Now, could I have made progress without knowing? Of course, I had done before, but it's interesting how I had a curveball thrown my way when I was trying that. I honestly believe on some level, there was a reason I had to wait. But what I'm trying to express is how wonderful it feels to feel like me again. And today is the day where I feel it. I actually do feel it. And it has been a very long, difficult, and challenging road because I didn't ever believe I could feel this way. I didn't ever believe that I could feel in charge of my own destiny. I didn't feel like the things that had haunted me for much of my life, in terms of family turmoil and these kinds of things, I thought they were forever. I thought that my ability to escape them was always paired with self-destruction. And this is where I can honestly say that even though I'm not done the weight loss, I am, you know, still have ways to go. I really can't express how, at least from where I'm at, maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe in a couple of months I'll be like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing, it's so hard. But I can say when I really reflect on where I've been and where I've come, to me, the weight loss itself is fundamentally a much, much simpler exercise than the journey I have been on. Yes, I've had to put myself through an incredible amount of pain. I've had to wrestle with tragedy that I have spent my entire adult life running from. But it is so, so wonderful to be able to say that now, in my mind, I am feeling like I can talk to myself again. I am feeling that when I am thinking and doing things, there's no longer this oppressive, self-critical, humiliating and aggressive voice. I now just have myself again. And that's something that I didn't even know I needed. Let's put it that way. I could not have comprehended that this was something that was even on the table as a possibility. And being there, I have to tell you that I love it. And it's absolutely surreal that it's like, I haven't even left obesity yet. Now I can say, you know, I love to be alive. I love that I'm on this journey. I love that people do tell me I'm inspiring, because there's a lot more to it than just the size, guys. There's deeper conversations we can have about that if you really want to go there. Of course, I'm not going to bombard anyone who says something nice with me to it, but that's a big part of the reason why I have done this entire process publicly. I do think I owe people who have gone through much worse the attempt. I'm not just talking about me. I'm also talking about people who are fundamentally stuck in the same pattern. And this is where what I really want to share is that we need to stop dealing with problems. We need to really focus on dealing with people. And I guess that's a bit of a mantra, but like what I really mean by that is that people are so much more complicated than just what you see at the surface. I think the reason why obesity is a particularly unique affliction or addiction in the sense that it is very difficult for people to avoid, and it is so directly tied to day-to-day living. You know, somebody can have a problem with a particular issue that's occasional. You know, for example, somebody can go to the casino and gamble like crazy every weekend, and you wouldn't really see that. You know, the next week they're just walking down the street and you see them. It's not something you would see. But I think on some level, people understand that these dysfunctions have deeper roots. And I think that's why it upsets them, because we want to do something, but we feel incapable of doing it. And so the thing I'm thinking the most of about these days, the things I'm trying to figure out now, are not how can I diet better? How can I, you know, lift weights better? Although I am figuring out those things, the real thing that is very much at the forefront is, what can I do to make it easier for people who are wrestling with these challenges? And I think hope's a big part of it, but I also think that a certain amount of connection and empathy is the real root. When I think of all the kindness and empathy that has been sent my way, I absolutely cannot forget that that is something I need to share in kind. And so, thank you for listening to a probably more intense than usual discussion of my journey. But where I'm at now, this feels like a particularly important, you know, mental milestone to share. And so you definitely mean a lot to me. And there's a lot of interesting stories up ahead. That's for darn sure. I am very excited to see where I'm going to go now that I actually feel like me. I hope you're doing well. Have an excellent one.